Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nice.
Niceness.
Nice. Finally, nice. Presentable. See how far we go.
Going for a run in the sunshine.
Good midday. It's your mate Liam. Sunshine. We've got to stop singing proper songs. Otherwise, it's going to have to start playing. Okay.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
It's just up in the Rose Garden. Look at this.
Very nice.
Isn't it?
Very nice summery morning, as it should be.
Yes, as it's late June. But it is gorgeous.
What was surprise for?
The heat wave is upon us, theoretically.
Yes.
But there was a lovely cool breeze. It's immaculate weather today.
Yeah.
And quite nice, because you're out in the humid woods the other day, you're going to get a little bit of sky and sunshine today. It's
a bit more spacious.
Nicely different.
Run around Clissold Park, the reservoir. Still sort of recovery run to me, but feeling better.
Yeah, how did you feel after the other day? Because
I felt
first
fine
outside. You
I felt fine. I felt I could have run for a bit longer. I feel I can start pushing it a bit more.
That's good.
You basically says after about, they say after about 6 weeks you can get back to kind of strenuous running again. Yeah, I'm 4 weeks in.
Yeah.
So I feel I'm my recovery's been good.
Very good. Nice. Good to hear. You didn't go for a run yesterday, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I went to the theatre last night.
What did you see?
Good old West End theatre. I saw the Layman trilogy.
Oh, of course. Yeah, brilliant.
Which was
what's his name?
Simon Russell Beale.
Russell Beale.
Yeah, and Ben Miles, who I know.
Nice.
And some other fella.
Oh, let's go. Take this up the ridge.
It was just an amazing, amazing play, as you'd expect. It was 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
2 15-minute intervals. Quite a stretch.
Yeah.
And I was quite tired because I'm still a little bit.
It's a blooming epic, isn't it?
If I'm not jet-lagged, I'm still moaning about being jet-lagged. I nearly fell asleep a few times.
Yeah.
In a hot theatre.
I think jet-lag does take a while to work through.
Well, it's 27. It's meant to take an hour, a day for every hour that you messed up, isn't it? And
yeah.
So it's sort of 12. Basically, it's meant to take about 3 months.
Right.
Before you're totally well again.
Yeah, but I don't think you could be 27 hours ahead.
Some people, it takes years. They never get that.
I'm having a bit of trouble with this maths. Well, the time difference. Yeah. I mean, the thing is,
every hour's a year.
Essentially,
it takes you
technically,
to get
you're still in Australia. And when you get back tomorrow, you'll be fine.
Though it's, I found myself falling asleep at irregular times. Well, that's quite normal for me.
As an age, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm such a napper.
I love a nap.
Such a napper.
Yeah.
It's the purest sleep.
I think it is, isn't it?
Well, I was on that. I retweeted the. I was on a podcast talking about sleep and exercise.
Yeah.
The other day. And it's really. And it's interesting with exercise, isn't it? Because you remember the times I've been out for a long, exciting run.
Yeah.
Of an evening. And you think, oh, I sleep really well tonight.
But you don't, though, do you?
You don't, do you?
No.
And after the marathon, after London, I had the worst insomnia I've had for years.
You really?
I just got up just one night.
Yeah.
But just, I don't know if it was actually the Sunday night, it might have been the Monday night.
Yeah.
I just slept for about 40 minutes.
Right.
Theoretically, bone tired. and I just woke up.
Oh, well, that's
just wide awake.
Well, that's your problem then. You're too tired.
Right.
You're too tired to sleep, mate.
Overtired.
Medical condition, yeah.
Overtired. Yeah.
Do you get... did you get the slight blues after the Canal Marathon? Because sometimes you do get a just slightly bluesy, don't you,
bit
on the third or fourth day.
On the third or fourth day.
Just kind of...
felt a little bit low.
Bluesy. That's the... But it's that's why you set goals, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
why you
right.
set more goals, because you fall into a slight... A sort of a lack of meaning, sort of abyss thing.
Yeah, what am I going to do next?
Yes.
No, exactly. I mean, in real terms, I kind of didn't. I think that it was there. But what I did last week is I kind of really grasped at it. You know, signed up for three more runs, and I also kind of really got on it and started doing a load of work.
Right.
Like sort of self-starty,
no, that's good.
Non-stand-up-y stuff that needed to happen.
That's good.
I kind of got back into it.
That's really good, yeah.
It could mean that I'm yet to crash. You know, I'm away, off away on my own for...
I don't think you will now.
...over a week. I don't know, it's hard being off on your own.
Yes, yeah,
I
yeah.
I think
yeah.
I need to be ready to... Oh, someone coming past.
Where are you?
Sorry.
Where are you going?
I've got a weekend in Edinburgh, which is lovely. And then... I'm going to try... is it Portobello Park Run, which is
right,
a long
yeah,
time coming.
Yeah.
And although that'll be last Saturday, dear listener, bad luck. Then I'm off to stay in Darlington, doing a work in progress show and a Beat This in Darlington.
Right.
And then touring around Yorkshire.
Yeah, yeah, that's where you'll fall.
Yeah.
Darlow.
Well, it's going to be gorgeous. Yeah. You have that thing, where was I the other day? If you go somewhere really nice on your own, you just think, it just really hammers home the pointlessness.
You want to share it with someone. Yeah.
It's like, you know, when they said about the tree falling over in the woods, that's all about perception and human ego and all that stuff. But I do think of it in a narcissistic way. I think if I do something and I'm on my own and no one cares, then why did I bother?
So you're doing this. Where are you in Yorkshire then? You're going through my old haunts.
Yes, I've got a gig in Northallerton. And a gig in, I've got York and Ripon. And
that's totally my ends, mate.
Yeah, you should be up there.
Give us a shout, mate. I'll sort you out. Anything you need, anything.
Yeah.
This is Tonks, lads. He knows Tonks.
You know, mate.
Yeah.
Coming out.
Any pies, just give him a shout, mate.
Yeah. I'm going to call in on Baz and Jizz and
Baz and Jizz and Gez and Fulton. Greg and Nod and
Greg. Greg stuck in the middle of it.
Get all lads together.
Baz and Jez and Derek.
Go and see Rob. We know Tonks. We're Rob's mates.
Meanwhile, you're in Brighton this weekend, aren't you?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, we should be good fun. Yeah.
And actually, a lot of my vegan friends are down there. So, give them a good tip. Maybe
that'd
do
be great,
a,
yeah.
I'll start up a WhatsApp group.
Yes, yeah, so
and you
me
can meet them at the place where they do the lovely vegan pasties.
Now, that'll be great. I'm not. Do you sometimes stay in Brighton when you gig there?
Always.
And if so, where do you stay? And do they put you up?
Jury's Inn by the station.
Right.
And yes.
Right.
And then nearly always when I go to Brighton, my family come too.
Right. And so, what's it like when you... does it work? Because it's quite a pain to get to and from Brighton, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But you can, unusually, not particularly interestingly, but unusually, listeners, the weekend in Brighton is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And what you can do...
It's quite a long one.
...is the trains run late enough on Sunday that you can come home on Sunday night.
Right.
But don't tell them that.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if you get the room for the Sunday night, you can be in it all day on Sunday.
Yes. That's a particular bugbear for the stand-ups, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly when promoters say, if you're not using the room, can you... It's like, I am using the room. I'm using it between 4 and 6 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. They say, if you're not going to sleep in the room, then you basically got to check out at 2.
Yeah.
So they can use the room. But that's exactly when you want to be kipping,
that's
isn't
when
it?
You want it.
Yeah.
At best, watching Sister Act...
Yeah.
Or just spark out.
Yes.
You want to get to that point where the gig has to phone you and say, are you coming down? And you're like, yeah.
Yeah,
sure. Because you were fast asleep.
But that's a...
I still did jet lagged.
That's one of those really tight squeezes on the comic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'll try to make you feel bad about it.
Yeah.
I refuse to feel bad about
it.
We're
the bad guys, that's right. But comedy has been squeezed.
Yes.
In the times of austerity.
Yes, it has.
Fees have gone down. They stayed the same for years as well, so they've technically been going down forever.
Yes, but now they're actually
gone down.
Actually going
by
down.
By about 25%.
That's a really...
Basically, we're launching an appeal, aren't we? This is a prelude to...
If you can get in touch, narcoleptic comedians.
Yeah.
Kipping Tonks.
We can't stay awake long enough to do the gig, and when we get to gig, enough money.
The kicker's out on the street.
Those Tonks, let him in.
It's a nightmare being us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at this beautiful stream.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Running mid-morning in the sunshine.
But there was a... There's an admin board on Facebook, isn't it, which we're not going to list, where which invites comics to list when they're available.
Yeah.
And it's just resulted in lower fees, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because promoters look at everyone who's available. And they realise they hold all the cards.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
So hopefully they're going to change
it. But luckily there's another secret Facebook where comedians get on and bitch about that. So
yes, yeah.
Thank goodness.
An ever-spiralling Facebook bitch fest. But I don't go on either of them. I definitely don't tell people when I'm available for work.
No.
It's like advertising failure, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Oh, look, baby coots. Baby coots. Oh, look at them. Baby coots, coots, coots.
We're running along by the... reservoir here, very nice.
It's really gorgeous.
Yeah,
a little bit of that wind we're talking about. Oh, morning magpie, ruffling it up and making it super blue.
Yeah,
like a 70s postcard of the sea. Yeah, it was funny when they started out. I mean, it all makes sense. It's valid and everything. But a couple of years ago, they started up a some kind of comedians union.
Yes,
guild.
Yes.
I was like, do you want to get in the guild? And I don't know, how well do you know the film Gross Point Blank?
I don't know it very well.
I just felt like I was John Cusack and the comedians with the guild are Dan Aykroyd.
Right.
Dan Aykroyd's trying to start a guild of assassins.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you know, like John Cusack is like, look at the way I dress.
Yeah.
Lone gunman.
Yes, yeah.
The clue is in the title.
Yeah.
And it is, it's like when I have to fill in a form as a comedian. We talked about filling in forms the other day, didn't we? I'm like, you understand why I chose this job?
Yes. That's what you get. You get ever-diminishing wages, but you get freedom. That's basically freedom to wander the streets because you've been kicked out of your room 10 hours before.
Great.
Moan, moan, moan.
Well, you can just take that. You don't. That doesn't happen in Brighton. They're good people. It's a nice hotel.
Yeah.
And you should stay down there.
I might stay there.
And you should go for a run.
Yeah, I might stay there.
It's the best place to run.
Where's the... Obviously, there's a park running Brighton.
Yeah, it's in Preston Park, where we ran with Angela Barnes that time.
Right, okay.
And, but then running along the front, a really nice run that's about... It's probably about... 7 miles if you start right from the middle of town, like from the pavilion.
Right.
Is to run out along the coast to the east.
Right.
Past the marina.
Past the marina.
Under the cliffs.
Under the cliffs.
And then the first place after the marina along the cliffs that the stairs come down from the road above. You go up the steps and you come back along the top of the cliffs. Down. That's a great run.
7 might be a bit... I could probably do 7. I think maybe it's a bit too early for me to start thrashing myself in a park.
Well, if you go the other way, if you go along to Hove Lawns, you can just run half of this, hit you on a half.
Right.
You want to run and then turn back. You can do that that way too, but it's not satisfying because you don't get to go up the cliffs and come down the tops.
Yeah, it depends if I stay over. I'm at the weird phase at the moment with my book where they've told me they're going to give me it back.
Yeah.
And I've chiseled out 2 weeks to really... have a go at it, but they haven't given me it back yet.
My experience, second-hand experience of publishers and editors, is that they never really seem to be in a rush to do anything, do they?
Yeah, it seems a bit, it's slightly more...
Get a picture of this gorgeousness, excuse me. Slightly more, sorry, go on.
Well, it's quite nice because the whole process of terms of getting a commission was loads quicker than anything else. But since then, it's undoubtedly a bit more chaotic, which I suppose is fair enough.
Yeah.
But they've asked me to work on the blurb for the back of the book, which, again, is something I assume they'd do.
Yeah.
But but I'm working on it, and it's quite hard, the blurb. You've got to get it...
Oh, yeah.
That's a major... I mean, there's an argument to be saying that's the most important thing of the book.
Well, exactly. You can't...
In terms of a sales pitch.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's a trick because it's so short. You think, oh, that'll be easy, but
it's not.
Can't put a word wrong.
Yeah. So I've been working on that, and that's going to take that.
Yeah, I remember doing
that's going to take all week.
I remember doing that for Julia's book.
Right,
and that was huge. We spent ages.
Yeah,
Julia spent a long time in it. I kept saying, "No comma there."
Yes,
that needs a hyphen.
Yeah. Wrong.
Get out. Yeah. Do it again.
Yeah. I mean, basically, that's it. You've got the title, the cover, and the blurb, haven't you?
Yeah. I've got a new title for my book and some people who want to see sample chapters.
So, have you really? Oh, fantastic.
It's a nice kind of, assuming that ever goes anywhere, you can watch your book pop and then I can follow you down that road. It's like a metaphor for the running.
That would be great, wouldn't it? That would be fantastic.
Some more baby birds. I can't see what those birds are. We've just got to the second reservoir, the East Reservoir. God, it's fantastic, isn't it? It's a little bit really like being by the sea. It's like being down in the marshes. Dickensian.
Yeah, so that play last night was just a really epic, just epic three acts. It's so pleasurable to go to the theatre. You really feel part of a scene when you go to the West End Theatre, don't you? The people go to the theatre. And they are a little bit different and eccentric. And
yeah, little communities.
It feels a bit old-fashioned.
Do you need to go in here?
No, I think I'm all right for the minute.
All right.
We had a funny one when we were all in the... One thing about those West End theatres, they've got really pokey toilets, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, because they're
uncomfortably
built Victorian,
small.
Built in Victorian times.
Uncomfortably small toilets and an air of tension as the play approaches and people try and get in and out.
Yeah.
So we're there, there's about eight blokes in a very small toilet.
Yeah.
Waiting to use the urinals or whatever. And then quick, here we go.
Woodland trail. He always likes the woodland trail.
And then a quick wash. And then a quick wash your hands and out into the theatre.
Yep.
And then there's this bloke at the sink. This old bloke. Really suited and booted, looked sort of like old money.
Yeah, almost black tie.
Starts flossing.
Oh!
It's just taking ages flossing his teeth.
Right.
I mean, you know, you've got like 3 minutes till the place starts.
That's like performance art.
It was crazy. I had to step in. Of course, I was the only one standing up for decency.
And what did you say?
I said, mate.
He's in distress.
So I said, mate, what are you doing? The play starts in a few minutes. He's like, what? I said, it starts. Look at the queue. And he went. And then everyone else piled in, of course. But I had to take the fall.
Yeah, good.
But to be fair...
I say you had to, but I think you loved that.
No, to be fair, he was old.
Right.
There was no real danger. and I don't honestly think he knew that he was being at all ignorant.
Well, no, but...
I think he just thought, this is what you do, but
lengthy. Yeah, but when you say, what you didn't know at all he was being selfish, but that's the very definition of ignorance.
Yes, yeah. Because it was lengthy flossing. He was settling in for a good floss.
He's had his dinner. He just got to the play in time. He thought, I'll go in the interval and I'll get the... that bit of steak from Angus Steakhouse.
Yeah, and there was literally three people behind him waiting to use the sink, and about another four or five milling around.
You're right about this tiny toilet stuff. I hadn't thought of that, but it's a Victorian thing, isn't it? You know, I found out a few years ago, the hotel at St Pancras.
Yeah.
Fantastic building, you know, one that in Harry Potter they fly the Ford Angler up past it.
Right.
And. You know, there's two stations now. It's been massively redone. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's got statues in it. But for ages, it was nearly empty and a waste of space. And I had this idea that it had briefly been a Victorian palace, and then it sort of fell out of favour. But it was never any good, apparently, first time around.
Right.
Because of the Victorian attitude to bathrooms. God, that's from Bill Bryson.
Yeah.
It's 600 bedrooms.
Right.
And it had, like... two bathrooms or something.
Why?
Everyone was expected to kind of...
What is this?
Go, you know, there were no bathrooms in or even near the rooms.
Right.
It's basically expected to drop the kids off in your own house.
Right.
And then not wash out while you're in London.
Wow.
And do it again when you get home.
It's really changed,
hasn't
it?
They really didn't think that through.
No. That is essential. But it is that slightly... But it does add to that slightly old-fashioned vibe of... being at the theatre as well.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really sold out and everyone was mashed in.
Yeah, and in terms
and
of kind of...
it a real excitement.
And also, it just... technically, theatres are so well designed.
Yeah.
That energy just gets to you. You know, when you find a comedy club like that where the walls curve around behind and enclose the audience at exactly the numbers they're at.
Yeah.
It physically feels a difference on stage.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
And that's the difference. I bet touring actors have that. If you play a show like that in the West End, in one of those brilliant kind of... It's a great number as well. You've got like maybe 1,000 people in. So it's absolutely loads.
Yeah, it was Piccadilly Theatre, right?
Yeah,
in the middle of town there.
That'd be about that size.
Yeah.
So loads of people, obviously. It's a big show.
Yeah.
But you could talk individually to anyone in the room.
Yes.
You know, compared to your experiences in like arenas and stuff.
Yes, yeah. No, the sound was incredible.
You can't get out of here that way. Oh. Sorry.
Sorry. And there was that, and obviously telling an epic story of the Lehmans and the three brothers coming over from Bavaria and setting up a fabric shop in Alabama and just coming from dealing in cotton and then the move to New York and stuff. It was just that real, just a very American's tale. Sorry, I'm getting lost.
Yeah, keep going left.
And you know where it ends, of course.
It's very much the contemporary version of one of Shakespeare's history plays, isn't it? It's about the rise and fall of kings, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's sort of, and the collapse of their Jewish faith while running the business, and then the Lehman brothers die. So, the end of it. By the time the bank went bust, there was no Lehman brothers involved in it. So it kind of, he didn't really focus on that. He just focused on the collapse of the family. And their Jewish faith within it.
Yeah.
But set in and amongst America and finance and what that is. Oh, it was lovely, really nice.
But you went to sleep for an hour in the middle of the
Yeah, I fell asleep, Joe.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah. As they did.
Not unpleasurable.
Yeah. It's funny, though, that thing of sleeping in a theatre. No, it sounds amazing. I'd like to see it. But it is. There is a kind of intensity to sitting and listening.
Yeah.
You know, you feel really guilty about it, but the two pretty much go hand in hand.
Yes. A lot of people do fall asleep, don't they?
And when you don't, you can really be like, you kind of forget you're doing anything except listening to the play, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to a sort of dream trance state. Here we go again. Coop babies.
Here we go. And it was quite sort of hypnotic, the rhythm of the play. It was the way it was written and performed.
Yes, therefore you went to sleep.
It's basically
brother,
a sleep apnea.
Another brother, Alabama.
Lehman Brothers cotton. But it was highly recommended. Hard to get a ticket, but I'm sure it'll go forever.
I just had a sad thought. I was going to joke, you know, about you dozing off and thinking you're in it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that's the trouble. That was the trouble with, you get that with dementia.
Right.
And my dad was kind of slipping away a bit further, but still, you know, at home and pretty much himself, he did have this thing where
he was
pretty much convinced more and more week on week that my mum had been on University Challenge.
Right.
So then she's just in the living room answering the questions.
Right.
And then he starts trying to kick the ball around during the football, and you're like,
yes,
this is something we need to look into.
Well, it's a bit more, you feel more part of the experience that you're watching, sort of,
the
gap between you and reality.
Exactly. And you can, when you think about dreams and drifting off, you can see how that would work.
Yeah.
I certainly, saw that the other day, though. It's good form. I mean, you know, it's that funny old thing. If you've got dementia, it's a kind of there is a moment there where you need to either have it or not.
Right.
You don't want to be turning around and going, wait a minute, what the hell's going on?
Where am I?
Yeah. She doesn't really think or say anymore.
We had the comedy industry had the revelation of Paul Sinner, didn't they?
Yes, that's right. I have to say, I thought he was brilliant. His announcement of his Parkinson's was really, considering, you know, because he's pretty darn famous, Paul Sinner off The Chase.
Yeah.
Syndicated all around the world. And I really felt like he announced it in such a way that he was kind of looking after his followers and fans in a very, you know, I was reminded of when my dad got his diagnosis, how, you know, he kind of held our hands through it. And
right.
It's a relief
yeah.
to have it put straight. And it made me feel positive about Paul as well. Because when something's wrong, it's good to get a diagnosis and put a plan in place.
Because he'd had a frozen shoulder for ages.
Yeah.
And hadn't known what it was. And obviously tested. I'd gigged with him about a week before he announced it to everyone.
But
And it was something he was aware that he was trying to manage, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think he's doing
obviously it's a difficult, very difficult thing to do.
I think he's doing their Shape with Laughter in the autumn.
Right.
Which would be special. I felt crass asking, but equally he's...
Yes.
If he wants to do that, it's a good thing to do. It's a good sort of processing experience.
Well, he just told me he just wants to gig as long as possible and as normal as possible, and that's it.
Well, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Al Barry, who has, charity runner. In fact, I think when we all did, me and you and him and Barry Casanola did Comedia Bath and then did the Bath Half.
Yeah.
The two charities were Parkinson's and... a cancer charity because that I was promoting, but he said I think he wants to do London next year for Parkinson's UK.
Oh, good for him.
So
yeah,
I just thought of that this morning. Actually, he should do the Bath Half again as well.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
And that means I want to ask you if you can do Shape with Laughter in October as well.
I'll have a little look. Yeah, give us a send us a deets, mate.
I will.
Love to do that.
Well, I got my people to talk to your people. Yeah. I've got people in Brighton actually. If you just stand in the street and say and send up the V into the sky,
I wouldn't really.
And the vegans will just come around you like zombies.
I would describe my people as people. I'll tell you, get your people to talk to my person if they can.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Hello, Paul's person.
Yeah. We haven't really got people, have we? Not really. Do you know who has got people?
Who?
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I was doing a callback to a joke that I didn't do.
Oh,
I'm just realising that now.
So you're going to Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Right.
Paul Meyerhog's going to be there. There's going to be cribbage.
Right.
It's pretty exciting.
That'll be good fun. Edinburgh and then the train down to Yorkshire, that'll make sense.
Yeah, and it's quite a lot of, it's a nice tour, it's lots of gigs, but also work in progress and Beat This on Monday. So lots of stuff to work towards and fresh and interesting stuff then. Kind of festival shows, basically.
If you go to Northallerton, you've got to go to Fleece. Corner, it's just pub on High Street, Fleece. It's where they all go.
Sorry, you missed out lots of short words and I don't really understand.
Get to Fleece on Friday.
I can't.
Just that card from gig, please.
No, those words just not enough words, Paul.
No.
But while I'm there, I've heard I should go to. There's a lovely hostelry called the Fleece.
Get down.
No, I'm going to do this. Of course, the running's going to be fantastic.
It's tricky without a car.
Yeah.
If only you could get up towards Motherley where we went that time.
Yeah, God, that was a run.
Get up on the moors, yeah.
Over to the moors.
God, I've done some miles around Northallerton.
Yeah.
Just remember researching, just looking at photos on the book and stuff and the running. I was doing 50 miles a week when I was 16.
Yeah.
Training twice a day.
Yeah.
Just really hammering it around there.
It's just running. I mean, sleeping or running.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, isn't it?
Sleeping, kipping, running, down Fleece. All that.
So you were down where? Brilliant. Yeah, well, we really will have to be there at the same time at some point.
Yeah.
Because that's some running I want to do. And I'm really looking forward to doing the Yorkshire Marathon again. I love that marathon.
Yeah, it is a good one.
It's really good. But, I mean, we covered it in plenty of detail last time, but that canal cancer was brilliant too and so different.
Yeah.
Someone messaged the other day, there's a marathon in Spain where you start in the Sierra Nevada mountains and then, excuse us.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Cheers, bro. Must have come out of nowhere. The idea that blocking the bridge with your bike would lead to people getting stuck behind your bike.
Did try and give us some eyes there, didn't they?
Well, I think it was travelling in both directions. Yeah, because he thought he was majorly cool and scary. Yeah. But we were more caught on the whole incredible stupidity. I haven't smelt that much link since 1987.
He's there with a bike horizontally across a narrow bridge.
Yeah.
Giving it all gangster.
Yep. Ultimately.
I nearly had to get I nearly had to get my mate out.
Well, if he'd been as old as your flossing guy, you'd have taken him down, wouldn't you? Yeah. That was good. So just because it all happened in silence, we'll just cover that one more time. And the funny thing is, I was just going to say to you, oh, these reservoirs have been so beautiful, haven't they, Paul? They're glittering in the June sun. Blimey. And you were going to say, yeah, it's like, and anyway, suddenly there's this guy. Massive. With the facial tattoo that's supposed to mean that someone.
Yeah.
His expensive mountain stroke road bike parked between the sides of the bridge. Essentially, we were like two of the three billy goats Gruff, weren't we? Chit-chat.
I felt no fear.
No.
With my mic. Although I did throw him a conciliatory cheers, bruv.
Yeah.
Did notice that the bridge between generations. The generation bridge.
You did a power.
Cheers, bruv.
You did a power shoulder tap on him.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah.
Like when presidents.
Yeah.
Because you were taller than
the podcast can't show the ornate gang handshake that we did.
Yeah, it took a while.
Didn't
see why you had to.
Here we go.
Why you both had to do murders.
Yeah.
Hey, talking to gangsters, how's the family?
Well, he can now fully embrace gang life because he's actually left the educational system for a while.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
When you say for a while, not like for an hour in the morning.
No, it's just
slightly too long at lunchtime.
No, he's going to go. He's finished his exams, having a laugh. He went to the Brit school for a sort of day's induction the other week.
Yeah.
Didn't really enjoy it, but we're hoping it'll land. I mean, because he just said there's no one there like me.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. There probably isn't.
No, but that could essentially be a good thing. But you have to find your way first.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one there like him in that there's no one who wants to be, who's like really into b-boy culture. But the kids are into dance and messing about and being creative.
Yeah.
He's just got to find his way.
Find his space, yeah.
But it's that tricky thing that he had to do where you're on your own in a new environment full of like-minded but different kids.
Well, I'm reminded of Toy Story 4. Have you seen it yet?
I really want to see
it. Oh, gosh, it's good.
Is it really?
Oh, really good.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Who knew that they would be able to pull out another good film from that franchise?
Yeah.
You know, because Toy Story 3 is
Toy Story 3 finished it so well.
Yeah, and going back to Toy Story 2,
right?
You know, to think that that could be as good as it was as a sequel.
Yes.
And yet they've done it again, really.
That's
no, absolutely no plot spoilers. It's great the way it totally respects everything that's gone before and is still elegiac and, you know, about lots of the themes picked up.
Right.
And yet, in a way that doesn't diss Toy Story 3, it's more joyous.
Yes. Yeah,
it's kind of lighter, but it hasn't lost any depth. It's absolutely brilliant. Honestly, I was just literally crying and laughing at the same time for most of the film.
They've delivered on every level, every film in that franchise, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
No, I really want to see it, yeah.
And the different thing with this one is, just because of technology, it's so beautiful.
Right.
Just gorgeous. Anyway, so enjoyed that.
Sounds good, man. We'll have to go.
We've been having a...
Are your kids on holiday yet? No.
No,
school, right.
You've got to be finishing school and having exams to be in the holiday zone.
Yeah.
But they're doing great. They're doing actually because they have exams every half term.
Right.
Which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Kind of good. It's like right on the line. Because you can't take them too seriously.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's so many that if you're ill, you kind of fail the next exam because you missed 40% of the coursework. You know what I mean?
It's intense, isn't it?
Yeah. But equally, it's good practice. Hopefully, it'll mean there'll be a little bit more kind of blasé about.
Keeps them ticking over. It's like a park run every week, isn't
it? Exactly, exactly.
Keeps you in the zone.
But the nice thing is, as that winds up, because they've got the Music Specialist School and they do loads of stuff like that, they're doing loads of really nice activities and still very... it's not just Dossie, because there's a lot of pressure on them to perform. My son's band played at the rock night the other day.
Oh, that's great.
They were really good.
So did you go and see that?
Yeah, yeah.
They're the good moments, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's something excellent about them, because all the bands are good. The kids rehearse properly. They get together and play hip stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, I said, actually... That's exactly wrong. They play stuff that we would really like.
Right, okay.
So, all they're playing some Pixies, Bowie, Hendrix. God, this is cool. Is it, though?
Yeah.
My daughter, who's a bit more of a contemporary music fan, is like, ooh, not so much.
A little bit dated.
But, yeah, my son's band, there's a few of them. I think there's four, five pieces.
What instrument does he play?
He sings.
Right, wow.
And he's so not a... He just stands there, relaxed, but non... He doesn't do showman stuff. He just holds it.
Yeah.
And he's the most tuneful of all of them. He just never hits a bad note.
Good for him.
And then his band, there's quite a few of them. He's got the full three guitars.
Yeah.
And then two drummers who take in turns. So there's always a second, there's always another person, a kind of Bez character.
Right.
Either doing backing vocals or percussion. I think one of them was doing keyboards on one song, but I think he was pretending.
Right.
But what it is that puts them ahead of some of the other bands is they've got a really good balance of loose and tight.
Yeah.
You know, they play the song right while still seeming relaxed and having a good time. It's you know, quite
That's
rock and roll.
Great. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, eh?
Oh!
Great to see.
Yeah, it's very exciting to see it.
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
Except I also say, you know what you want to do?
Yeah.
You should do this song.
I like it, but it could be better. Notes. Notes from Dad.
Let me set up a couple of meetings. But then they do all the orchestral stuff, so they're going to play, they're going to Germany to do like a sort of orchestra tour. And then for my daughter, there's also other stuff that's like debatey. We're just really nice, creative, but still school, still kind of educational
rigorous stuff.
So it's a good time of year, and they're very cool with it. It's great. But they'll appreciate the holiday when it does come. But what I liked when Rudy finished was a picture online of him on the last day in his uniform.
Yes.
And you on the other side of the world, Facebooking, should be in proper shoes. So.
Yeah. Why is he in trainers?
Because those are trainers.
Because that was a big beef right to the end of, like, the school said you've got to wear shoes to be let into the exams.
Yeah.
Rudy's like, but everyone's wearing trainers. So it's like, just right till the very end, the idea that he might get not let into an exam. You know, the school's ringing us, he has to wear shoes.
Yeah.
Rudy's
it's almost
insisting.
As if that's a relationship that needed to be maintained by all parties.
By everyone, yeah.
Yeah. Look at the look at this old park. Someone's mown the grass here.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's spectacular.
But no, the idea that all that school uniform's gone, all the bits of paper and books just clogging up the house goes.
Yeah.
We'll never have to get up and drive him to school on time, and that tension.
Yeah, I mean, with
it's
the three
a,
of them.
It's a massive new chapter.
The journey from beginning of kind of school you have to go to the end of school you have to go to.
Yeah.
That's a journey.
It's massive, yeah, it's massive.
You've just taken.
And obviously there's elements that we'll miss of it, but oh, just got to embrace a new chapter.
Sorry, the deer are right here. Oh, when I was in Scotland, I've never seen so many deer in the wild. It was just amazing.
That is kept
beautiful. Seeing them. Dancing through the highlands like ballerinas. It's incredible. So...
Yeah, it's just got to work out what me and Ra are going to do.
Yeah.
Now no one needs us.
Well, you've become unnecessary, haven't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to go around again? Where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, how far have we gone?
We've gone 3.5.
Right. I could go one more.
Yeah. All right, let's go one more.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of need the toilet, but I think that's
good. Well, we'll go there.
Well, we'll go halfway around and go out in the middle. Yeah?
I was thinking one more just round the park as opposed to a full loop. Is that good? What? Round Clissold Park.
Well, that's what I meant.
All right, okay.
Oh, yeah. And I was halving that. Yeah. So go halfway around Clissold Park,
yeah,
and then run up the diagonal straight
right
to the church.
Okay, cool.
We'll race it.
Okay, cool.
We won't race it.
We can do that.
Because I don't want you. Don't want to split your films. So, yeah.
So, yeah, and Raz applied for a job and got a job as a sort of careers coach,
yeah,
for kids. So that's waiting to happen.
Brilliant.
And I'm... I remain a standard comedian.
Yeah, and your book's coming out.
My book's coming out in
February. And you've got a top-rated podcast.
I've got a script in with Sky.
And yeah.
Absolutely massive podcast.
Yeah, huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
And we're going global, because I'm nipping over to do that interview with the American.
That's right. I'm looking forward to us all doing that.
Yeah.
We've all been... I haven't had my ticket yet. Yeah. I haven't had my ticket yet for the New York trip. Tell me anything about that,
That'll
Paul?
Be my
Can
go.
You tell me anything about that?
That'll be my solitary podcast. We don't like to go alone, but every now and again it gets too complicated.
Well, it's a nice thing, isn't it? We were talking about this off mic the other day.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if we're going to...
You mean we're going to put on mic and off mic conversation?
Oh.
We're going to blend the barriers between off mic and on mic.
Yeah, that's right.
Go on,
let's
go for it.
The walls are coming down.
We're breaking the fourth wall.
Just saying how... It's true that with the nature of the podcast in our lives, we're finding this at the moment. We've got a couple more of the ones where only one of us is there. And we've got great people to talk to, and it's all good. But it doesn't feel the same, does
No,
it?
No, no. It's getting the balance right, isn't it? Every now and again, especially with me constantly needing operations.
And going on globe-trotting trips with superstars.
So it's... Every
I'm quite relieved that for once I'd be able to say, yeah, well, I won't be able to do that because I'll be in Matlock, Paul.
Now, Rob's doing his big Yorkshire tour. Rob, live from the Fleece. I'm with Paul's mates, Gaz and Jizz and Cobb and Bick and Mick. I don't know who Jizz is. He's a character.
I don't know how he got that
He's
name.
A character, that's all we need to know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, you do know what you're going to be doing next, but
yeah,
it's
going to
be a big change.
Yeah.
And I'm, as ever, watching that with interest because I'm more and more used to the idea that these things that once seemed so far away are going to happen to me in about 10 minutes.
They come quickly, don't they? Your kids are how old now? 14?
Yeah, well, today's is about to be 13.
Right.
But we were saying the other day, it's just ridiculous, the idea that she's 12.
Yeah.
Because she's such a grown-up now.
Yes. Yeah,
and she said, She really isn't she?
Yeah.
And she really got it, because she was joking. She said, actually, I present as 13.
Right. She's bright, isn't she? She's a real bright little girl.
I think that if she was to actually run the world, it would be... It would help.
No bad thing, yeah.
Yeah, we'd do fine. And then... the key thing with Bud now is 14.
Yeah.
And he is tallest of all of us.
Wow.
Which he doesn't like. He's like, no. But he's like, no, he doesn't say no. He's like, no.
Well, I'm faced,
I don't want to be the biggest.
I'm faced with a scenario at the moment where both my sons are stronger than me.
Yeah.
I mean, George used to work out all the time. Doesn't work out so much now, but he's just bigger. He's just, everything is bigger.
Yeah.
And Rudy can do a handstand for about 2-3 minutes.
Right.
He goes to the gym every day. There's not an ounce of fat on him, and he's really muscular. And I'm just hoping it doesn't kick off around the ass.
Yeah, but equally, you know, you do with all your around.
I've got the moves.
You're fit as a butcher's dog. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you actually team up,
yeah.
Have you thought about this? But you could fight crime.
Yes, we could do that. Yeah, but it's.
And when I say crime, I mean kind of old people who floss and
yeah,
game boys with bikes.
Come on, mate, join the dots. Look at us all waiting. Mate, come on, look at your bike. What are you doing? All right, Bob.
That was great. He's probably still there, that bloke.
Yeah. Really nice, pleasant run. Enjoying it.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. Loosey-goosey.
Loosey-goosey.
I'm sort of waiting to see how to sort of properly recover from this injury and how it will affect my running.
Watch out.
Just the fact that I don't hopefully it should help. I mean, hopefully, because I've obviously been favouring one side or the other for a while.
Yes, absolutely.
And hopefully I can get into a kind of more of a like holistic whole body running thing, you know.
Well, I think it's true. I think there's a real balance. There's a strange balance thing with injury and recovery, isn't there? Because on the one hand, you get better. You always get better.
Yeah.
Always get better, but in a very forward-moving way. And you take these things with you.
Yes.
So as you recover, you're never going to... There's no hard line. You'll always be kind of just moving further and further away from that. But as you say, as you go into the next phase of your running, you'll hopefully find... You're running better.
Yes.
Or at least different, and it's a new thing to explore, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll always feel a little bit of weakness there, but no longer, no pain or discomfort.
Well, exactly.
It's just a different...
I was carrying loads of stuff the other day.
Yeah.
I went down to Portsmouth. I just walked a really long way to the gig.
Yeah.
And I've always got loads of stuff, you know, my guitar on my shoulder and that. And my ribs hurt, you know, where I cracked my rib.
Yeah.
I just hurt that for a couple of days. But there's nothing there. There's no damage.
Right.
It's just that it's just scarring, you know. It's just a bit that, like you say, you'd always know it's there. And in a way, for me, I think someone's having a sports day. That's the lesson of running, that your body ultimately is there to be used.
Yes.
And you might remember some of the more traumatic things that happen, but it can take it.
Yes,
You take him along with you.
He's pretty tough, isn't it?
Yeah. And you don't, and you can get go forward and get better, but you never go back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at what you were saying about running 50 miles and training twice a day. That was amazing running, but it wasn't your best running. Well, some of your best running, but certainly not your best running psychologically.
It was.
That's more the last couple of years.
It was by far my fastest run.
Yeah.
When I look at the times, I was doing like 39 minutes for 7 miles, and
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was really. I could do 7 miles at like 5:35 pace.
Yeah, yeah. That's preposterous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'd take it with you. It's what we're talking about. You know, you can't access that.
No,
but
no,
you
no.
are using it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. You sort of, you just learn, you know what it feels like to really push into pain for a long time.
Isn't it lovely to be talking about this just as we
just
pass
this kid sprinting around?
Yeah. You mean you can't run this fast? No, I can't.
But you can still access that.
Yeah, he's laughing.
They're laughing at it.
Actually just laughing at you. Look at that. So, what beauty. Get that picture again, because it's like I've turned to take a picture of this lady, which seems a bit harsh. Me and you looking at that.
They're just laughing at me going whoosh.
Yeah, they really.
I wish I could work with
genuinely
kids.
Genuinely taking the mickey out of you to your face.
Yeah. Laugh at the old man.
There you go. 4.16 miles.
That's great. That's just what I need.
Yeah, whoosh. Really good.
Still getting the mileage out of that. So keep the PBs coming. We'll do them next week.
Yes, definitely.
And yeah.
And lovely pictures as well. Who was it? Someone did this really nice 5 mile run around a reservoir.
Yeah.
That looked excellent.
Yeah,
isn't it the reservoir we went to with Rachel and Carl? I don't think so, but it made me think of it.
And people keep sending us your plans for the summer. I say Rob's are in place. Mine's recovery, getting better. Any post op stuff people could help me with.
You know, you could feasibly do the Yorkshire Marathon, but don't decide yet.
Yes,
could happen.
Yeah. What date is it?
It's October the 20th.
Okay, I'll have a look at my diary.
Go out to Yorkshire, run marathon,
nip down fleece.
Don't fleece,
nip down fleece.
It is a great race.
Where? This music is playing.
Is this a festival? No, it's just a guy.
It's a man with a bicycle.
How funny.
That is not ideal. It's Steve, quick mix this up. We haven't got the rights. Boom, 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 boom. I want you in that room.
Is that guy linked to anything? Or is he just...
I don't think he's linked to anything.
He's just a character. Just a character. There. Wherever they are, there's a rave, isn't it?
He's coming to,
coming
to see us.
Hello, mate.
We haven't got the rights, mate. We're nothing to do with anything.
What are you
here for?
The bike ride. Bike around the world.
Oh, nice, okay.
No,
we run, sorry. Good luck, sounds good.
It sounds great, mate.
Bike around the borough, there we go. That's what the kids are all doing. Oh, look, see, they're all in different colours.
Oh, that would work. It's about around the borough.
Oh, well.
He came to see us because he thought we'd know what he had to do.
He looks official because we're wearing our head mics.
Yeah. Oh, that's surreal.
We know nothing.
Yeah.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.